Good afternoon. That's loud mic. All right. So this is the very first WAMPAC meeting. I've really been waiting a long time for this, so it's very exciting. I'm going to start things off since we haven't selected a chair and a vice chair yet. The first item on the agenda is to establish a quorum, and this is wonderful to see. All 8 WAMPAC members are here at the very first WAMPAC meeting, so we have a quorum. The next agenda item is committee announcements. And I will start off by saying that the WAMPAC is technically a special advisory committee. And this follows a standard agenda that we have for special city established advisory committee meetings, beginning with committee announcements. I know this is the first meeting. I think there will be opportunities probably later on the agenda for committee members, of course, to speak and provide comments and the announcements they want to provide. But since it's on the agenda, do any members of the committee want to make any comments before we continue? I'm seeing heads shake no. So moving on to director announcements. So I am Erlen Singwald, Community Development Director. Again, I am very excited to have this first WAMPAC meeting. I think this is really a tremendous opportunity for the city. As I was driving over here, I was reflecting that all the cities and counties in the state have general plans and zoning codes, but not even all of the coastal communities have the opportunity to have a waterfront master plan, and we will be able to develop a completely new, up-to-date waterfront master plan. I think this is a really exciting opportunity that we all get to be involved in. Now, the next item on the agenda is public comments for items on the agenda. This comes from that special committee standard agenda. My recommendation will be moving forward in practice, since pretty much any comments the public may have for the WAMPAC will probably be related to the WAMPAC agenda items, because it's a kind of narrow specific focus of this advisory committee. I think it would make the most sense to invite public comment after the individual agenda items. That way the public can comment after having the benefit of the staff presentation and the questions that the committee asks. So technically we're the public comment part of the agenda, but we're going to actually move the public comment to after the staff presentation, and that would be my recommendation moving forward as well. And that brings me to the actual action item, which is to nominate and select a chair and vice chair person. And this is when I'll turn it over to the WAMPAC to see if anyone wants to step up to take on that role, or you want to nominate one of your colleagues. I'll let you decide, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you. Thanks for your reminder. To basically get everybody's input, to finish on time, and to basically complete the task with everybody's input. So glad to offer that support if necessary.
Do you need a nomination?
Yes. So if we get a nomination for a chair, and let's see if we can do one vote for a chair and a vice chair, if possible, if anyone would be interested in stepping up for the vice chair role.
I'll do the vice chair. No one else is interested.
All right. Thank you, committee member Todd Nazzini. Is there a council member who wants to make an official nomination of committee member Peck for chair and committee member Tognazzini for vice chair?
Yeah, I nominate Mr. Peck for the chair and Mr. Tognazzini for the vice.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Unanimous decision. We're off to a wonderful start. And then next is our one agenda item. I do have a PowerPoint presentation prepared. Chair Peck, or would any council members like to make any comments before we start with the presentation, or just jump right into the presentation? All right. And I forgot to acknowledge that this is the first meeting that we're having in the Betts Hall since the new arrangement due to the audiovisual upgrade project. And it's a brand new advisory committee meeting, so what can go wrong? It's going to go perfectly smooth. All right, so the focus of this meeting is the introductory report that I'm going to give on the Waterfront Master Plan update, and then also a brief review of the recommended consultant contract and scope of work with PlaceWorks, as I'll talk about in the presentation. We did a fairly extensive evaluation of consultants, and we're pleased to recommend PlaceWorks, and we'll be taking a contract with PlaceWorks to City Council for consideration next Tuesday. So I want to, again, just going to introduce the team, get them Erlen Stingwald, Community Development Director, and also we have Susanna Toner, City Planner, who's very knowledgeable and is going to be very involved in the Waterfront Master Plan update process, assisting with project management. Susanna was also very involved in the consultant selection process. Also in the audience, we have Tammy Seal, a principal with PlaceWorks, the consultant that we're recommending. Tammy is a very experienced consultant who's worked in the area, lives in San Luis Obispo, has worked here for a very long time. Amy Sinsheimer is going to be the main PlaceWorks project manager who will be sitting next to Susanna and I during the next 16 WMPAC meetings. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to attend this evening for this meeting, but she's going to be our main point person at PlaceWorks, and I think we'll develop a good relationship with all of us. So this slide is to discuss the purpose of the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee. So I've been saying that the purpose, I think the language I use in the request for proposals, is to be a sounding board and to help act as like a steering committee to support on policy decisions during preparation of the Waterfront Master Plan update. I just wanted to take a moment to expand a little bit more on that concept and go into greater detail and examples of what the WMPAC's role would be. So each of you are on the WMPAC because you represent some very important stakeholder interest on the waterfront. So you bring a lot of just individual depth of knowledge and experience to the discussion. And I think there'll be opportunities, again, over the next 16 meetings for you to speak up from your individual area of expertise and experience to really contribute to the process. I think that's one important aspect of your participation on the WMPAC. Also, when I talk about steering committee, what do I mean by that? Essentially, we are going to present every month to WMPAC, first Thursday of the month, 3 p.m., the agendas will generally be focused around the major deliverables for that month, and it's just an opportunity for the WMPAC to really tell us, you know, right track, wrong track, and kind of nudge the project in the right direction. Also, it's a public forum. So just having these monthly meetings, it's a forum for staff and the consultant to provide updates and for the public to participate in the process and address the WMPAC and staff and just have that monthly, ongoing, consistent communication with the city and the WMPAC on the project. And then policy decisions. So for a plan like this, it's not completely a technical exercise. There are technical aspects, like a sea level rise analysis, but during the process, there will be a lot of difficult decisions that we're going to have to make together, and we're really going to look to the WMPAC to help us make those difficult policy decisions on the plan that we ultimately recommend to the Planning Commission. So considering this is a new advisory committee, I took a little bit of a different approach in the staff report, and just I stepped back and I reflected on what will be necessary for staff and the advisory committee to work together collaboratively to have a successful Waterfront Master Plan. And I know that we all share that goal of having a very successful outcome against the tremendous opportunity with this grant from Coastal Commission. The plan hasn't been updated since 1996. And I think the way that we work together will really determine the success of the plan. And I think part of this is remembering that we really are one team, so the WMPAC, staff, the consultant, and we all have a shared goal of having a balanced plan. So even though different committee members may represent different specific stakeholder interests, we're all really united by a combined goal and vision to have a balanced plan that fairly represents all of the interests on the waterfront. Next, just keep in mind that we do have the best interest of the waterfront in mind. So assuming good intentions, I think it will be natural where there will be some points of conflict or friction, but just remember that even though we have different perspectives on things, we all have the good intentions and the best interests of the waterfront in mind. This next item, the WAMPAC is a forum for diverse stakeholders to deliberate and reach consensus. I think the way it's worded here is a little bit different than how I put it in the staff report. A quote that I heard before that I think about a lot is that the idea of conflict doesn't have to be viewed negatively. In fact, it can be positive, and oftentimes when it comes to making important decisions, conflict is necessary. If you make it an important decision, especially a decision affecting an entire community, and there's no conflict, then you're probably not making an important decision in the end. Like, it's kind of a necessary part of the process. But when you have an environment of trust and assuming good intentions, really conflict can be viewed as a passionate pursuit of the truth. We're all just trying to come together to come up with the best truth, and everyone has the right intention. Next, I like this idea as well of taking space and making space to promote balanced dialogue. I'll use myself as an example. If you've been in meetings with me, I normally don't dominate the meeting with talking. I'm more of a listener. I tend to make space for others to talk, and I have to kind of remind myself to speak up. And there are other people who have a very different approach just based on their strengths and who they are, where they like to be the one to speak and share their ideas. They're not as good at listening. So I think it's just important to remember that idea of, you know, when to take space versus make space. I think that'll contribute to a more balanced dialogue with the advisory committee. And then, of course, all participants, everyone in the room, the committee, staff, public, they're here to support this effort and should be treated with respect. So thank you for entertaining that. So now getting more into the technical information, just kind of a brief background on the existing waterfront master plan. So it was first adopted in 1996. I understand that committee member Dowdy was very involved in that process and could probably spend an hour teaching us how that went. And I'm excited to kind of learn from committee member Dowdy as we engage more in this process. And thankfully received a grant from the California Coastal Commission for $750,000 to update the waterfront master plan. Susanna and I actually had an opportunity earlier this week to meet with our Coastal Commission staff planners, Ryan Maroney and Sarah McGregor, at the former wastewater treatment plant site. And we were standing on one of the taller structures on that property where you're able to get a good vantage point of the power plant property and the Morro Dunes RV park and the former wastewater treatment plant site. And I just looked at Coastal staff and really thanked them for their support on this grant, because without the grant, I don't think it'd be possible for the city to do this planning effort. Also, it was really a great vantage point to be able to see what we're calling the expansion area of the waterfront master plan, which is those historically industrial areas in the northern portion of the property. One of the kind of initial tasks is going to be a waterfront tour, where we'll meet with most of, if not the entire WAMPAC, and I'm sure other stakeholders, to tour the entire waterfront area from wastewater treatment plant site all the way down to Tidelands Park. So what is a waterfront master plan? Really, it's the city's vision for land use and development on the waterfront area. If you're familiar with, you know, planning law, every city and county has to have a general plan, and the general plan, and the city has one, it's called Plan Morro Bay. That's our vision for land use and development for the entire jurisdiction. And since the waterfront is such a geographically distinct area, we have a separate plan to be the land use vision for the waterfront area, which is the waterfront master plan. The current plan, the way it's structured, identifies key issues and establishes concepts and design guidelines for 5 waterfront planning areas. The updated plan will add at least 2 new planning areas, maybe more. So it may be difficult to see this map here. Just now focusing more on the update to the waterfront master plan. So it really implements Plan Morro Bay, so the city's general plan for the waterfront area. It expands the waterfront to include these new planning areas. If you look at this map and you see the red outline along the areas that I think most of us are very familiar with, the Vistra property, former wastewater treatment plant site, Morro Dunes RV Park, the old concrete plant, the triangle boat storage lot, that's a huge addition to the existing waterfront boundaries. You can see the thin black line just below the red, extending down into Highlands Park. That's the existing boundary. So it's more than doubling the actual acreage of the waterfront area. So a major update. Also updates the design guidelines. That's a real critical part of the waterfront master plan. The couple last larger redevelopment projects on the waterfront, so the Paul Gillen Bayside Landing project, and before that, the Libertine project. A lot of the analysis and discussion on that project came from a review of consistency with the design guidelines, and this will be an opportunity to reevaluate those design guidelines and see if they still make sense or if they can be tweaked or modified to better fit the current needs. And another kind of major technical focus of this plan is a sea level rise analysis and adaptation plan. So now, as far as the consultant selection process, so like I mentioned earlier, we went through, I think, a pretty extensive, lengthy process to make sure we are picking the very best consultant for Morro Bay to prepare this important plan. So we issued a detailed request for proposals on February 6th, had a 6-week window for consultants to propose. It was important to give a good amount of time for consultants to propose because the project really necessitates a multidisciplinary team. So consultants really had to assemble the right team to put together a detailed proposal for the plan. We received 10 responses. One of those proposals was late with their hard copy submittal to the city, so we weren't able to review that one. But we assembled a selection committee to review, rate, and rank the 9 qualified proposals. That selection committee included 3 members of the WMPAC. So thank you to committee member Hansen, committee member Peck, and committee member Wachowski for your participation in that process. We then interviewed the 4 highest ranked consultants. And after the interviews, we narrowed it down to 3 that we thought all could do a fairly decent job. The 3 top consultants, they had some strengths and areas where maybe they could have improvement. We decided that ultimately what it would come down to a large part, is the experience of the project manager that was selected for each of the teams and how well them we'd be able to work with them. We're a very small community development department and planning team, and this is such an important project that we're going to view the consultant project manager as a regular member of our planning team. So that fit with our team was really important and a big part of our decision making. And again, we ultimately recommended PlaceWorks, and I have some slides talking about the PlaceWorks team and their experience. So if you're not familiar with PlaceWorks, they're actually the firm that prepared Plan Morro Bay, which was approved by the Coastal Commission, I think, in 2021. That is the major comprehensive update to the city's general plan and local coastal programs. That's really the guiding document for land use and coastal resource protection consistent with the Coastal Act within the city limits. PlaceWorks also prepared the Downtown Waterfront Strategic Plan, which is a plan that's very closely interrelated with the Waterfront Master Plan in the downtown area. So having that depth of experience and knowledge, I think, really showed up in some efficiencies they could offer in their budget and scope of work, where they have just much less of a learning curve compared to other consultants. They also have a strong local presence. For example, like I stated earlier, there will be 16 WMPAC meetings. That actually does not include this one, so this plus 16 meetings. And other consultants, they didn't have the same local presence where they could be here in person for every one of those meetings, but PlaceWorks is able to send their project manager, Amy Sinsheimer, to all of the in-person WMPAC meetings. And when we get into some of the more technical areas of the waterfront master plan update process. We'll also have local sub-consultants come and present to the committee. Ms. Sinsheimer, the project manager, she is very experienced, over 20 years of experience preparing various plans for Morro Bay and other local jurisdictions. And then also one thing that I thought was exceptionally helpful in having PlaceWorks is they worked closely with the GPAC, or the General Plan Advisory Committee, which is more or less the model that I followed when helping to put together the framework for the WMPAC. And I think Amy Sinsheimer is the project manager previously on General Plan and working with the GPAC, and really kind of bring that knowledge and experience of what was successful with the GPAC and bring that to the WMPAC. And so another example of that local experience with Morro Bay supporting this project. You can't see it very well on, you probably can't see it at all on this slide, but you can see the, you can't see, but there are other sub-consultants. So GHD is the consultant doing the sea level rise analysis with the PlaceWorks teams. Central Coast Transportation is going to do the circulation aspect of the plan. And there's also an economics firm, HRNA. And then what's the other one? Yeah, those are the core sub-consultants on the team. Here's the scope of work. And again, I recognize you can't really read this slide. This was, the entire scope of work was attached to your staff report package. So this is really a high-level introductory meeting. When we present to the WMPAC in July, that'll be an opportunity to really do a deeper dive into the scope of work. And the consultant will be ready to answer more detailed questions on the scope of work. Now, when I put together the request for proposals, I intentionally had a very strong focus on public engagement. And that really was reflected in the proposal from PlaceWorks. So one of the first tasks on this plan is to have a public engagement plan. I think that'll be one of the first opportunities for the WMPAC to provide input on the types of, you know, stakeholders that should be included in that plan, and just any other input that you have on our public engagement plan. So the public engagement will include, again, like I mentioned, 16 WMPAC meetings, 5 in-person workshops at various kind of key milestones throughout the process, 4 stakeholder focus group meetings, 6 one-on-one interviews, and an online community-wide survey. So while the WMPAC is a very important, you know, kind of regular forum for public and stakeholder input on the waterfront master plan, it's not the only one. So staff and the consultant will also be having, you know, workshops, stakeholder interviews, online survey. So there'll be a very kind of robust public engagement component to this plan. So project schedule, like I mentioned, we are going to present council with the proposed contract with PlaceWorks next Tuesday. Then second half of June into July will be the project kickoff. That's where we'll schedule that waterfront tour that I mentioned earlier. And then the consultant will begin to work on the background information. There is a planning commission scheduled for February of 2026. That isn't where planning commission is going to consider the plan, because the plan won't be developed yet. It's more as the point earlier in the process where we can present some of the background report and the results of the visioning workshop to planning commission to get input from planning commission earlier in the process before we present the draft plan to planning commission. And you can see design guidelines and the street and public plaza design is scheduled for March 2026. So I mentioned design guidelines before. That's kind of a critical part of the plan that really sets the, you know, template and standards for development on the waterfront. This idea of the street and public plaza design, I think those of you who follow the last couple of redevelopment projects on the Embarcadero know there is a provision in Plan Morro Bay that essentially states those street and parking lots on the west side of Embarcadero should be converted into public plazas, but there hasn't been much of a uniform design plan or inspiration for what those plazas should ultimately look like. So we thought the Waterfront Master Plan would be a good opportunity to create that vision for those public plazas. In June, we would prepare a public review draft of the Waterfront Master Plan and take that to the Planning Commission. So I think this is a good time to really emphasize the role of the WMPAC versus the Planning Commission. So WMPAC in no way is replacing the Planning Commission's role. Planning Commission's role is the same as it is for any plan update, where they hold the hearing on the draft plan and then make a recommendation to City Council. City Council will adopt the final plan. And in this case, then it has to go to Coastal Commission for certification as an LCP amendment. So Planning Commission will have that same role. WMPAC is really working with staff and the consultant throughout the process to develop that plan that we then present to the Planning Commission. So you're really kind of the boots on the ground committee working with us to get that plan to Planning Commission. And again, Waterfront Master Plan is part of the local coastal program, which means it has to be certified by the California Coastal Commission. And that's scheduled for June 2027, very tentatively. I would like to end this meeting and future WMPAC meetings regarding topics for the following WMPAC meeting. Like I mentioned earlier, the next meeting would be the, I think, right forum to have a more detailed presentation on the scope of work and to answer. We'll do our best to answer any questions that you have now on the scope of work, but I think we'll be better situated at the July meeting to go into detail on the scope. Also to get input on the public engagement plan from the WMPAC and to discuss logistics for that waterfront tour I mentioned earlier. And also I'm interested in any other topics that the WMPAC would suggest for the next meeting. And my final slide, this is another slide I would like to have in all future WMPAC meetings, just asking for specific areas of input from the WMPAC, not that this would kind of limit where we want to hear your input, but just to kind of prompt discussion. So it'd be helpful to hear this afternoon, what are the, I talked about the scope of work and some of the key elements of the RFP, but what are your must-haves for the Waterfront Master Plan update process? Is there something that you think is absolutely critical that's addressed in this Waterfront Master Plan that we haven't discussed or maybe you didn't see in the proposal or scope of work? And what is your vision for a successful Waterfront Master Plan update? So, you know, imagine we're November 2026, we're presenting the final plan to the City Council. What's your vision for, you know, successful work as an advisory committee and a successful plan that we're presenting to the City Council? And then finally, just anything in general that you think we're missing, we'd love to hear that now. And that concludes my presentation. We're here for questions.
Since this is our first meeting, perhaps the best way to address the director's comments is to start, I guess, at my right and have each of the committee members express an opinion about each of those items, and we'll just go down the list and handle it that way.
Good evening. A couple questions I have, but there will be answered later on. Determining the boundary on the west side of the Waterfront Master Plan, and then will there be any zoning changes?
So I'll start to respond to that, especially on the zoning changes. So something I didn't mention in the presentation is so the plan is going to be what's called a project under the California Environmental Quality Act. So the actual Waterfront Master Plan update itself is going to require a CEQA determination. What we have budgeted for a CEQA determination is an addendum to the Plan Morro Bay EIR. So that is approaching it from the perspective that this is really, in a way, implementing Plan Morro Bay and not changing zoning or land use different than what's envisioned in Plan Morro Bay. There could be a point in the process where that's reevaluated and we could determine, you know, would that require a new environmental impact report, which would be a very expensive process, or is that something we still could find consistent with Plan Morro Bay? So the current vision as of now is to have it consistent with the land use in Plant Morro Bay.
Hi, Charisse Hansen. Thank you for having us all here today. One of the things that has popped into my mind is that some of the area in the Waterfront Master Plan map is state lands. Are we going to have any representative from the state possibly come and see what they would be amenable to if we made recommendations or if the WMPAC made any ideas for areas that are actually state property, like out on the south side of the Rock?
So I think any major landowner impacted by the waterfront master plan, I think we would view as a stakeholder to an extent, and definitely do, you know, reach out to them. And this isn't regarding state land, but as another example of that, I mean, there's no denying that the Vistra property is a huge parcel on the new waterfront master plan boundary. So, you know, we would be remiss to not engage those key landowners, including the state, in the process.
Thank you.
Yeah, Paul Donnelly from the Public Works Advisory Board. Question I have, and I think I asked this when I was appointed, the power plant. When the Vistra people started their application, they started a power plant master plan. Which is that going to be encompassed into this and no longer needed a power plant master plan separate?
That's a great question. So the reason why Vistra proposed a power plant master plan is because Plan Morrow Bay says prior to any development or land use on the Vistra property, a master plan is required. And of course, the Vistra master plan was proposed essentially around the idea of establishing a battery plant on the tank farm part of the property. And I think we're all aware that that project is no longer happening at the city level, and I have not heard about any movement at the project on the state level. So no, this is the city's opportunity to establish the city's master plan and the city's vision for land use and development, completely independent of the previous battery plant idea on the Vistra property.
Okay. Also, and I don't know if it's premature or not, but the city right now has a request for proposals to do some design work at Coleman Park. This has come up at PWAB before too, about the bathroom that was taken down, and now they want to relocate it to where the basketball courts are. Now, it seems to me that the master plan here would want to identify the features that might go in there. It seems like that RFP went out prematurely before this took place. One of the elements they show in there is they want to put in a stage on the middle of where the parking is right now. And it seems to me that, again, that's something that this committee should say, identify whether or not we want to pile that kind of activity at that location, and whether or not we need to put in the bathroom and more trash cans and that kind of thing. Is that what the waterfront master plan will identify as, those sort of features and those things that need to be done?
So maybe I could address your question at more of a general level. And this, I mean, this comes up almost every day in the office where, you know, Greg Qualick, Public Works Director, and I, or other staff and I, will talk about various plans and projects that are in progress in the waterfront, and we know that there is a real important connection to the waterfront master plan. On the other hand, we can't put everything on hold for 2.5 years till the waterfront master plan is approved by the Coastal Commission. So I think it's going to have to be a really iterative process where we have to continue making movement on some of these specific projects that already have momentum, and then kind of check back in with the waterfront master plan at the right time. I know that's a very general question, and I think in future meetings, you know, we can maybe get into greater detail about the Coleman Park and other specific examples. But I think in general, we can't put everything on pause. It has to be more of an iterative process.
So if we do get some proposals, we will not see that for this committee, for that location? I mean, in other words, it comes to us, they're going to do a design, they want to put in all these features, which is going to eliminate a lot of parking, eliminate the basketball court, move the bathroom over there. It seems to me that's right in line with what we're doing here.
Yeah, I mean, again, the waterfront master plan update is going through a process. It won't be in effect until it's approved by Coastal Commission. I think the best we can do to address that, again, is have it be an iterative process where we're checking in with Public Works on these various projects, but we can't just put them completely on pause. But I'll talk with Director Qualick about that specific example so we can be ready to talk more about it in the future.
All right, thank you.
Hello, Melody Grubbs. Thank you for the presentation, and I look forward to getting into more detail in future meetings with the scope of work. I just want to acknowledge that sea level rise adaptation is a core part of this plan, and so I think something moving forward, and there's lots of good models with other cities, is taking public input and making sure that this plan has a good balance between public access, infrastructure resilience, and natural resource protection.
I think my input would be, the first one would be a realistic market analysis of what we can expect over the next 20 years, and I think that's reflected in the work program. That's somewhat absent from the plan Morro Bay, and so we have a lot of property designated for things that may not occur for a while. So phasing of those properties would be important. You know, I echo my colleague's comment about providing some early input by this group and certainly by the Planning Commission and Council on kind of the framework, in addition to the Coleman Park property. There are other things that are going on. There's the RV park renegotiation. There are individual properties. We talk often about the Market Plaza property that's the subject of this. You may get applications elsewhere. So rather than waiting for 18 months to find out that we missed the boat, I think there needs to be some sort of iterative process, as you say, Director Singwall, that we catch those early on so we're not cutting off opportunities that we see. And I think the expectation for me for the Waterfront Master Plan is we don't leave any significant unanswered questions. Circulation is a big deal out there now. We can't approve one more square foot of commercial without addressing somewhat how the cars and safety vehicles are going to get around and in and out. And I think that was one of the things that one of the issues of the plan Morro Bay that we can cure with this. So let's get a realistic idea of what each of those major development sites will look like from a site planning level of detail. And so that when an application comes in, we can use that as a template to say it complies or it doesn't comply. And there isn't a comment that, well, we need to do further studies and maybe we need to do another master plan amendment. So that's kind of my expectation. It's a tall order, but these are major development sites. We want to get it right the first time.
Thanks. My must-have for the Waterfront Master Plan update would be that the consultant brings a public engagement plan that includes access for all members of the community to come and have their input. So things that come to mind for me with that would be potentially, how are we letting folks know that these opportunities are happening, such as reaching out to younger folks on social media where they're living? What time are we having these meetings? Is it at a time when working folks are able to attend? Are we providing transportation? Just making sure that all members of the community have an opportunity to be heard. And my vision for a successful update would look that, like, everyone knows where Morro Bay is going in terms of the waterfront, whether that is the city council or clear direction for staff to go execute, or even investors that want to come invest in Morro Bay. They know what we want our community to look like down the road.
Hi, James Costanzo. Thanks for the presentation. One of the must-haves, as Mr. Donnelly has said about the Coleman Park area, I think that's significant. And also the circulation, I think that's a big issue. Hopefully you can address that. And one of the success, hopefully, of this committee is to outline what everybody can expect if they want to build. I mean, we can outline some of the things that we'd like to see, and that clearly anybody that wants to develop or has a clear plan of what they can expect to engage in with the city. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for the presentation also. I think it's super important that we address the existing issues that we have before we develop new ones. And I think circulation, parking, some of those things are really important on the waterfront. And I have a lot more must-haves, but I think they'll probably come out as we go. Thank you.
Are we wrapping up this part of the presentation?
So this part of the presentation is complete. Like I announced earlier, my suggestion is to take public comment after the agenda item.
Okay. Any other comments by the committee before we take public comment? Seeing none, we'll invite public comment on the agenda item for the introduction and consultant selection.
Betty Winholtz, several things bouncing off of some of your comments as well as mine. I think item number 4 on your list is the most important thing for me, and not the workshops and no a reflection necessarily on PlaceWorks, but our general plan was done during COVID. It was made into more of a, in my opinion, to be a little critical, like a picture book rather than the law. Like, this is what our general plan looks like. It's not, it's got colors and pictures, but it's not like where I can easily go to find stuff. And so I'm hoping that as you review the old waterfront master plan, that you don't throw out the good stuff just for new stuff. Okay, because there is some good stuff in the old plan. And one of the things that PlaceWorks did not do, and I don't blame them, it's probably staff at the time, they did not do a strikeout version. So we had no idea what was being taken out, what was being added. It was something brand new in a completely different format. And that was not helpful for us, the public who was used to a certain document. So I'm really hoping that you'll get something that aligns with the old document and or is easy to follow, and that we can see what's been eliminated and what's new. Regarding that, when you hold your meetings, I hope that you do not do them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I think you need to do them in the evening. You need to do them on the weekend. That's when people are available, when they're not at work. And a survey does not take the place of that. If you want people to show up, if you want to be hear what they have to say. Surveys are fairly limited, in my opinion, because you scope the meetings and then people don't get to talk with what maybe they want to say. In regard to noticing, I think everyone on the Embarcadero needs to be noticed, either with a sheet up front saying this is what you can expect over the next 12 months, or we'll keep you up informed with, you know, walking the street and passing them out, or with a postcard. But it seems to me every business that's affected needs to be contacted about these meetings, as well as us public who lives up above. Noticing... this is me, and it's a very specific thing, and I know it's in our general plan, and again, the general plan was done over COVID, that I am not in favor of the dead ends becoming little fairy places, that they continue to be parking. We have such a need for parking on the Embarcadero that I hope you'll consider changing that in the general plan. Is there anything else I can just... amen to what you're saying about Coleman, being on the Parks and Rec Commission, speaking for myself, not as a member, but that plan that is being pursued is one that was, again, done 4 years ago, and is not necessarily reflective, I don't think, of where people currently are with how they see that being... rejuvenated. I don't think it necessarily reflects the city council. I don't think we want to endanger the wildlife there with loud noise and a platform and entertainment. I think it's a quiet place. I think it's silly not to keep the bathroom where it is because it's plumbed for the bathroom there. Everybody uses the basketball court. I think simplicity is what we need back at Coleman. And then people already come there and we'll be able to keep our parking. And so those are just some details. Thank you for letting us speak. I'm really glad that you clarified the role of this committee in relationship to the Planning Commission, because it has seems to have so much duplicity, and that, that needs to be not stepped on each other's toes. Thank you.
Well, hello there. My name is Steve Ray, and I apologize, first of all, for my voice. I'm recovering from surgery, and the doctor said I shouldn't even be talking by now, but can't shut me up. First of all, you'll probably get a lot of advice along the way, and people like Betty here can give you a lot of great advice, and I would suggest you take advantage of all the advice that you'll get, because you have a lot of work in front of you. And I want to talk to you about the end of the process. You're talking about the whole process at this point, but I want to talk to you about the end. As you notice on the chart that staff provided, the last approval necessary for this plan is the Coastal Commission. I have been working with and against, frankly, the Coastal Commission for over 43 years. Hard to believe since I'm only 45, I know. But the one mistake I see so many jurisdictions make along the way is they wait to deal with the Coastal Commission until you're almost at the end of the process, when it's their turn to come up. I would make a strong suggestion that you plan on engaging with the Coastal Commission full force from the very beginning. I've sat through probably hundreds of presentations over the decades of plans coming from jurisdictions. And one mistake that's made is that they didn't engage with the Coastal Commission early enough, and then they have to go back and wind up doing a lot of it all over again. For instance, on the sea level rise policy, Coastal Commission has a full written, very thick plan on sea level rise strategy. And if you just copy out of it what they've got, you'll get your sea level rise policy and strategy real quickly. But you have to work with them on that, because they're, believe it or not, they're experts in all of this stuff that you're talking about here today. So work with the Coastal Commission. The district director for this area of California is a guy named Dan Carl. He is one of the greatest people in the world you'll ever have the pleasure of working with. His assistant, Kevin Hahn, is another great guy. Sarah Ferguson, who is the local Coastal Commission analyst for this area. Sorry, I keep losing my voice a little here. She's a delight to work with. So talk to them, engage with them right from the very, very beginning. And they can help you along the way figure out a lot of what you've done. And a lot of the stuff that you're going to be considering here, this may be a surprise to you, but this is probably not the first time it's ever been discussed by somebody else. And guess who has discussed all of those plans with all of those jurisdictions? The Coastal Commission staff. So they can help guide you along the way and tell you right up front what's not going to work, what is going to work, some ideas that they've seen other places that you might want to consider and incorporate into your plans. So take advantage of that resource. I encourage you to do that. It'll be great for you to do that. And considering that they're funding this exercise, they really like to see the money that they have put out come back and bear fruit. And so don't forget to thank them for the money and encourage them to be even more protective of their resources by being engaged in the process. Now they will, and there was a question earlier about, well, is somebody from the state come down and talk to you? The Coastal Commission does not do that. They don't come and have public meetings and give you advice and stuff like that. They don't believe in giving advice. I learned that a long time ago from the Coastal Commission. They don't do advice, but they can give you pearls of wisdom, okay? And I've gotten a lot of words of wisdom from them over the years on various projects I've engaged in. So take advantage of that resource. If you have something to keep in mind too. This is a waterfront plan. So this plan must not only engage the land and the resources on the land, it also, because it has water in it, it's on the waterfront. So the marine resources, any impacts on the marine environment, marine resources, marine habitats, marine movement, all of that kind of stuff comes into their bailiwick also. They cover everything 3 miles offshore. So anything that you're going to do that's going to have an impact on the marine resources, be sure to talk to them too, because they have all that information there too. Again, my name is Steve Ray. I'm a what you call a second home person here in town, but I'm up here all the time, as Betty knows. So if I can be of service any time, give you any guiding information, I'd be happy to do that. And people in the city kind of know who I am and can put you in contact with me. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
Hello, I'm Margaret Carmen. I'm a Morro Bay resident. I guess I'm a resident too. Okay, so what do I want to say first? I'm looking at this man with this wonderful head of gray hair, Mr. Donnelly, and I think that he should be listened to because he's got decades of experience with engineering, and he could add to what all the staff knows because that gray hair gives him more years of experience. And I say, please don't think you have to move the bathroom over and do away with the basketball court. That seems like ridiculous expenditures, and people like to play basketball still. And just because pickleball is more in doesn't mean basketball can't come back, boop, even though I didn't play basketball. Okay, thank you. I hope that Paul takes that in as a compliment. And I really want to reiterate what Ms. Winholt said, that I first got involved I did my one Zoom talking to the planning commission or somebody about, I just think that design for Coleman Park looks like Disneyland, and we're not Disneyland. We have one of the most natural, beautiful wonders, Morro Rock, and we need to keep it where people get on the beach, walk on our walkways along the water, and go in the restaurants and the bars that people are paying really high rents on. And I just think taking away parking to put in a public plaza, again, is this huge expenditure and taking away from what you already have that people can enjoy and take in and love Morro Bay, and the businesses will be much happier. Which brings me back to the businesses again. Please don't do away with their parking. People, where are they going to park? How are they going to come down and spend money and enjoy the waterfront? And I had an idea, too. When you notify the businesses about your meetings, you might want to include the fishermen and the slip holders also, because they're a very important part of the Embarcadero. Also, I know I've been rather verbal about this, the new way we do workshops, I just don't think it works as effectively as the old days when people got to stand up and everybody got to hear each other's ideas. You know how many people have left your meetings and here and even in Los Sosos when it was going to be a post-it meeting? They just left because they're like, this is absurd. And so I have to say all of our age groups are much more involved, and I really loved your idea. I'm sorry, I don't know how to, and I'm Polish, and I don't know how to say your last name, Miss Mary, to get the young people involved. We've got to get the young people, but until they actually come to these meetings, then you need to keep the old people happy, which is let us get up and talk and engage, because it might be, I hear somebody's idea, and I go, that was a fabulous idea, and then you get on board, or you're like, oh, no, you know. Okay, what else do I want to say? Yes, please don't develop those dead-end streets. Thank you for listening to me. Bye.
Are we set up for video or AGP comments?
We are.
Okay. Seeing no other comments from the public, AGP, do we have anybody in the queue?
There's no one in the queue with their hands raised.
Thank you. That being said, I think the staff recommendation today is that we receive and file the introductory report and the WOMPAC update and review the attached scope of work schedule and budget with place works for the update. Can we take those in one motion?
Yes. Okay.
Do I have the vote motion from the committee to that effect?
Can we just say so move?
Yes.
What Steve said.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The next item is adjournment. Are there any other comments before we adjourn, Director?
Just to say thank you for the questions and the comments from the committee and the public. I think these are great questions and comments that we're hearing, and really shows we're going to have a lot of robust discussion over the next 18 months.
Okay.
You know, almost daily in my job, a topic will come up, and it always leads back to the Waterfront Master Plan. There are many, many issues that we will have to discuss and vet together as a group. For example, I have to say I wasn't aware of the focus and interest on Coleman Park, because that's something I just haven't personally been very involved in. But I think it's a good example of the use of these meetings really for discovery, so we can hear from the public and the committee on what are the most important topics and how are we going to address those with the Waterfront Master Plan update.
Next matter on the agenda is adjournment. Do you have a motion to adjourn? I'll second it. Who was the first?
I so moved we adjourn.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.